Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, I'm Tom Gilson. In this episode of ID the Future, we hear from professor and pediatric neurosurgeon Dr. Michael Egnor of the State University of New York, Stony Brook. He's speaking as part of the bonus material attached to the Science Uprising video series at scienceuprising.com. His talk is about materialism, the mind, and the brain. And he concludes that neuroscience has been misled by materialism. Materialism can't understand the mind's purpose-directed thinking, for one thing. Yet there's materialistic bias in the field regardless. But its viewpoint seriously misrepresents what the science is telling us. Let's hear what Dr. Egnor has to say about it.
Some of the most fascinating work in neuroscience has been the work of Benjamin Libet, who was a neuroscientist in California back in the mid-20th century. Libet was fascinated by the correlation in time between thought and brain activity. And he did a whole series of experiments in which he would place electrodes on the scalp of patients or people. And he would ask them to make decisions or think about things. And he would attempt to time the moment when they made a decision, when they thought about something, and correlate the moment they thought about something with the moment that there was a change in the brainwave activity. And he did a number of different experiments. One experiment has become very famous and ironically has been used by materialists to support materialism, although an understanding of what Libet actually found is quite the opposite. It refutes materialism. The experiment that Libet did was he would ask a person to press a button when they decided to do so. So he put a button in front of them, and he would have a clock with a sweep hand, and the person would just sit there, and whenever they would decide, I think I'll press the button, and push the button, he asked them when they made the decision to press the button, not when they pushed it, but when they decided to push it, just note the fraction of a second that was on the clock. At the same time, he was recording brainwaves, and he wanted to find out, the moment you decide, what happens in your brain. And what he found was, quite consistently, was that about perhaps half a second before you decide to do something, there's a spike in your brainwave that he called the readiness potential. And it was before you were aware of the decision to do anything. It was almost like an unconscious motive. And then you would decide a half second later and do it. So he found this quite consistently, that there would be the spike in brain activity, then the conscious awareness of a decision, and then you go ahead and do what you decided. Materialists have used this to suggest that we are misled by thinking that we have free will, that what actually happens is that our material brain just sort of makes the decision, and then we kind of think that we decided, but we didn't. It was our neurotransmitters and neurochemicals. But Libet didn't agree with it. Libet pointed out that he asked the subjects to do something more. He said, when you decide to do something, then decide not to. So you decide, I'm going to push the button. Oh, no, I'm not going to push the button. When they did that, he found that there was a readiness potential for deciding to push the button, but there wasn't a readiness potential to decide not to push it. And he said he didn't prove the existence of free will, but he proved the existence of free won't. And that's what he called it, free won't. He said, what he sees going on in the brain with his experiments is that we are bombarded with what are probably preconscious or unconscious motives, and that we are freely capable of deciding whether to comply with them or not. And the decision to comply with them is not material. There's no sign of any brain activity when you decide not to comply. And he pointed out, kind of interestingly, that free won't is a parallel concept to traditional religious ideas of original sin, that in a sense we have motives that are beyond our control. We can't stop the motives, but we can stop ourselves from doing it. And the free will, or the free won't, is scientifically demonstrable, and he demonstrated it. And his experiments were brilliant. And he was a dualist. He was a property dualist. And he rejected the idea that his experiments proved materialism. He felt just the opposite, that it proved that free will was real. What this remarkable research suggests is that the materialistic bias that has been present in neuroscience specifically and in science in general, leads us to misunderstand the results of our science. One could say, in a sense almost, that we have an ocean of data, an ocean of answers, but we've forgotten what the questions are. We've forgotten the questions that we're supposed to be answering. And when you look at these studies in cognitive neuroscience carefully, they are giving us a very clear answer to a fundamental question in neuroscience, and that is the mind entirely a product of the material brain? And the answer they're giving us is that it's not. And this particular viewpoint that neuroscience has been misled by materialistic ideology has been addressed in some depth by two people working in the field who I think have done fascinating work. There's a neuroscientist named Bennett from Australia and a philosopher named Hackett from Oxford who've published several books over the past couple decades, the most prominent of which is, I believe, The Philosophical Basis of Neuroscience, in which they critique the materialist viewpoint, in which they point out that the traditional classic way that materialist scientists do neuroscience seriously misrepresents what the science is telling us, and that we can't understand our experiments if we begin with a materialistic bias that isn't justified by the evidence. So I strongly recommend Bennett and Hacker's work. It provides a wonderful philosophical foundation for getting a deeper insight into neuroscience. The object that neuroscience studies, the human mind and the brain, is best understood by dualism. And I believe that neuroscientists need to become more acquainted with dualism and need to understand the limitations of materialism, which are profound and which are holding their science back. The natural world can be much better understood if you assume that it has purposes, if you assume that it has design. It helps you to understand how things work. And I believe that the human mind, properly understood, will give us a much deeper understanding of nature, and not just of the mind. In the 19th century, a German philosopher named Franz Brentano asked a very important question, and I think answered it very well. He asked the question, what is it that is unique about the mind that makes it different from matter? We tend to think of mind and matter as different things, but what is there one thing that makes something mental as opposed to physical? And he said, actually, there is. And he said it's intentionality. And intentionality is an ancient term. It was a term that dates back to Aristotle and was used by scholastic philosophers. And what intentionality means is that it is the ability for something to be about something else. For example, if I'm thinking now about Washington, D.C., my thought is intentional in a sense that I am thinking about something that's not me. I'm thinking about a city, or I'm thinking about a doorway, or thinking about my wife. So the ability for a thought to be about something is unique to the mind, because no physical object is about anything in the absence of a mind. Right? A rock sitting on a beach isn't about anything. A tree isn't about anything. Only a thought can be about something. So Brentano said that if we are to understand the mind, we have to understand intentionality. We have to understand how a thought can be about something. And of course, you can't explain intentionality using materialistic precepts, because matter is never about anything intrinsically. And materialists have tried. In the 20th century, they've taken up Brentano's challenge. There have been many different efforts, for example, by Daniel Dennett, who's a materialist philosopher, to explain intentionality as some kind of material thing, but it can't be explained that way. What's remarkable about intentionality and what the scholastic philosophers understood is that intentionality is in some sense a reflection of a grander aboutness in nature. And that grander aboutness is called teleology. And teleology is the tendency for processes in nature to go somewhere, to become something. For example, the classic example is an acorn growing into an oak tree. Teleologically, it seems to be what the acorn is designed to do, to become an oak tree. The acorn doesn't become an ocean or a Corvette or a flower. It becomes an oak tree. It has a very specific direction and a goal. And it's a kind of aboutness in things, that they're all directed. And the scholastic philosophers realize that intentionality in the human mind is kind of a reflection of this aboutness in all of nature. And essentially, it's a reflection of purpose in nature. And that you can't understand the mind, or you can't understand nature, unless you understand purpose. And in fact, biologists have tried, because they are allergic, if they're Darwinist biologists, they're allergic to teleology. They're allergic to the notion of purpose. They've tried to explain biology without invoking purpose, and they can't do it. You can't explain a living thing without explaining what the purpose of the parts of that living thing are. You can't explain the heart unless you explain that the purpose is to pump blood. You can't explain the eye unless you understand the purpose is to see. Where do those purposes come from? Well, those purposes are kind of like intentionality. They're kind of like a mind. And the implication is that behind the universe, there's a mind, a grand mind, a mind that is reflected in the way the universe works. And as St. Thomas would say, that is what all men call God. So what really helped me in my personal understanding and in my faith is that I see that everything in nature that shows purpose, that shows goal-directedness, that shows teleology and intentionality, is a reflection of a much higher mind. It's a reflection of God. Materialism, in my viewpoint, is not even really a philosophical perspective. It's just a mistake. It's like claiming that 2 + 2 = 5 is mathematics. It's not really mathematics. It's just an error. And materialism isn't even sufficiently coherent, in my view, to qualify as a philosophical perspective. The best philosophy on this originated with the ancient Greeks, particularly with Aristotle. And what Aristotle proposed, and what really became mainstream metaphysics for such philosophers as St. Thomas Aquinas and the scholastic philosophers, is that things that exist in the world are composites of form and matter, and that form is the intelligible aspect of things, and that matter is what makes something an individual thing and not just sort of a theoretical thing, but that the actuality, the intelligibility of something is in the form. It's not in the matter. Form is what makes things real. And what I believe materialism does in modern science is it denies that the form of things is the most important aspect of them. That we need to, for example, in biology, we need to focus on the purposes of biological structures, not just on the details of the structure itself. We need to know why they're doing what they're doing. And once you start looking for purposes, you start looking at immaterial aspects of nature, at form, and that leads you out of materialism. The reality is that if you are a consistent materialist, you can't even do good science. Let's face it, if you think the only thing that exists is matter extended in space, then why would you pay any attention to physical laws? Is Newton's law matter extended in space? Is Einstein's equations of gravitation, are they matter extended in space? No. The best science is science that looks for deep conceptual principles that underlie the natural world. And that's inherently not a materialistic perspective.
That was Dr. Michael Egnor, professor of neurological surgery at Stony Brook State University. For more of his commentary and the growing body of videos making the case against scientific materialism, check out the website scienceuprising.com. It's a series of action-filled short videos that will get you rethinking what science really says about life and what it means to be human. You'll find Dr. Egnor's talk from today as part of the bonus material under the subject labeled Mind. Keep an eye on the main Science Uprising site for more short videos coming over the course of 6 weeks. Again, that's scienceuprising.com. For ID the Future, I'm Tom Gilson. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.